It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Don't touch that dial.
Yes, 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 y'all.
What's poppin', man? It's Thursday night. You know you chillin' here in SkidRowStudios.com with your boy, the N, the P, and the motherfucking R, Nestorius. We got an interesting show this evening. If you happen to be in your underwear in your living room and you haven't paid your cable bill and you have expired rice milk in the fridge, and you ain't got nothing better to do, and you want to call 800-893-9562. We're live, you know what I'm saying? If you want to check us out ever on video, we stream video live on SkidRowStudios.com every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And like that, you know what I'm saying? So with that, let me introduce my my guests. One of them you've heard before is she's a director, writer, producer, wife.
Good that you put that last.
Yogurt eater. She burns beets. And that's it. You know, a very powerful woman in Hollywood doing her thing. You know, making shit happen. Rosemary Rodriguez with Poppin'.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Always welcome. Nice to work. Every time I have with you is always good.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know.
That's
I'm going to start nice. On a sweet note.
That's so nice. And to your right is the lovely Miss Margaret Lake. How you doing, Margaret?
I'm pretty awesome.
So I didn't know how to introduce you because I know
most people don't.
No, because I know that you did some entertainment marketing for the Ace Hotel, I believe, and organizing or whatever. Why don't you tell me what you did?
Well, the Ace Hotel bought the 26 or 27 historic United Artists movie palace, and I just did a 1-year deal with them to get it up and running. So yeah, I'm also on the board of League of Historic American Theaters. Worked for Sundance for a while.
So the League of American Historic Theaters?
League of Historic American Theaters.
Is that something specific to downtown Los Angeles?
No, I think it's something specific to movie palaces and
really?
In the entire United States.
Wow.
Yeah, so we basically help people, you know, renovate, rescue, rehab.
Nice. So I'm going to take it that you are very knowledgeable and familiar with all of the historic downtown theaters.
Downtown's really lucky, downtown L.A. A lot of other cities across the U.S. demolished a lot of their theaters, and L.A.'s been lucky enough to have people who purchased them in the 80s and just sort of sat on them, and now,
People purchased them in the 80s? Like landlords purchased them and converted them into other things?
Yeah, or just sort of sat on them. You know, a lot of other cities, they just demoed them.
Right.
So, I mean, they're kind of unique buildings to the United States.
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with a lot of theaters in all these small towns. And if you're lucky, there's one left.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Right.
And you're right. Los Angeles has, which is ironic because Los Angeles is known for like demolishing every fucking thing. Like L.A. in general is not too kind to the preservation of anything historical. I mean, from what I know, I'm a New Yorker, but I mean, I can name at least, well, there's a lot of historical buildings and sites that just have been demolished. And it's
well,
like, how could you?
I don't think the 70s and 80s were really great to, you know, to the kind of old school American historic preservation movement. You know, a lot of those theaters were beiged out, red plastic basketball seating, and, you know, turned into to crappy venues.
Right.
And I met Margaret almost, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago, maybe 10 months ago, when there was a party, Sundance Film Festival party, and I got a magnificent tour of the theater and the history about Mary Pickford and United Artists.
I know.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was Charlie
and
Chaplin's
I was immediately,
baby.
Yeah. But it was about the theater. It was also about you, and it was about the knowledge that you have and your enthusiasm for it. and your enthusiasm for film history and the theater. It was just, it was magical. It was a magical night.
United so we became, Artists.
We became
That's a very, I mean, United Artists was one of the, what do you call, a notable
Yeah, I was one of the five studios in the 20s that said, hey, you know, we don't want to support the studio system, so we're going to create our own.
Right.
And Charlie Chaplin and, you know, Mary Pickford decided. And it's always...
And one more, no?
Yeah, I mean, and Douglas Fairbanks. C.W. Griffith.
I mean, that kind of goes into what I think we were going to talk about tonight,
right,
which is about people trying to empower themselves against the system.
I'm glad you said that. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
I mean, listen, it was a problem in 1926 with Mary Pickford. It's a problem now.
Okay, I'm going to break it down like this, y'all. I'm going to break that shit down like this. The show is going to be about inequality, okay?
What?
That's what it's going to be about. And specifically, it's going to be about inequality towards women in the film and television industry. So that's what was going on right here. And for those of you that don't know who Mary Pickford was, Google that shit, okay? Just fucking get schooled. Get your ear holes cleaned. You know what I mean? So, So, I mean, throughout the history of film, especially women, right? I mean, we've done a couple episodes. Yeah, women have been shunned out, right?
Well, I think Mary Pickford is probably the first woman that actually got to tell other people what to do on a set.
Well, no, there were a couple of other ones.
There was some early women.
There were some earlier pioneers. Can't think of the names right now, but maybe you can
Alice
help me.
Alice
Key Blaschet.
Lois Weber.
And Lois Weber, in particular. Yeah, these are two women.
It's the same ratio right now.
Yeah. It's the same ratio, pretty much. Two to one. But this is a very interesting topic. So you know, it's awesome that you're kind of a historian on the movie theater buildings and movie buff and historical movie
She's
buff.
She's a very strong woman, very
and you're
intelligent.
You're a very strong woman, very intelligent.
Very
yes, we've
force
had
of nature.
We've had lunch before. You're a very strong woman, definitely. And you picked up that plate like nobody's business. I saw that shit. That was pretty strong. And then my wife here, Rosemary Rodriguez, is on the other side.
This is not a visual show. You will not see my girth.
Yeah,
oh, it is.
It
oh,
is.
Hey.
Oh, no, that is.
Should I flex? I'm from the Danish, northern country.
Look, you got a camera right there.
We were made of.
You got a camera right there.
Yeah, there's a camera.
You can get up, bench press the table, whatever you want.
This is gonna be on YouTube.
I'm much better at just radio. I'm going to start crying now.
Okay.
That strength just went away.
Okay, so let me read off some because what's interesting is that of late, there's been a lot of hullabaloo in the media about women not being represented fairly in film and television. And I mean, this is something that's been going on for a while. So let me read some of the statistics, right? And then you guys can chime in and whatever you want to add. So like 69% of 2013-2014 episodes of TV were directed by white males, right? A figure. I was gonna be like, really? Shit! How is that news?
Well, that's one season from 2013.
Right.
To 2014 is one season.
Right.
69% of the episodes were directed by white males.
White male. A figure that's been virtually unchanged over the last four seasons, which means prior to that, it was probably 90%. You know?
Well, also that tells you because of the explosion of cable and streaming and all of the content that's being created and all of the, episodes.
Right.
They're counting cable that even though there's more programming, if it hasn't changed in the last four seasons.
Right. Got it. So in other words, with the advent of more
venues. Doesn't mean there's more opportunity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Got it.
You would like to think there would be, but there may not be.
Right. So, out of 776 directors who directed DGA contracted episodic TV shows in 2013 to 2014, that particular season, 108, which is represents 14% of those directors, were directing episodic television for the first time. But 68% of those first timers were white males. So, again, we'll just see that that even when there is opportunities for new directors, the default demographic would be, you guessed it, White males. White males. Mr. Henry, how you doing there? So of 776 directors who directed episodic TV made under DGA agreement in 2013 to 2014, of those 776, here's the breakdown. So 647 of those, which represents 83%, were male. 129, which represents 17%, were female. 681, which represent 88%, were Caucasian. So that includes male and female, right? 52 episodes, 7% were African American. 24, which represents 3%, were Latino. And 19, which represents 2%, were Asian American. I'm happy to note that in this particular field of directing TV, at least Latinos are like one notch above Asians. That's a pretty good progress for us. Hmm. You know, we got to direct 24 episodes of TV, which is pretty wild. So the slight improvement in minority male numbers in the past year reflected in the accompanying graph is due entirely to Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry directing all episodes of three TV series that he also produced. See, but this is the part of the when I was reading this article, I think that should qualify some of those episodes. It shouldn't be just the slight minority increase of slight minority male numbers. It should be also slight minority female members, because he kind of represents both demographics there, don't you think? I mean, at least half of those episodes he's directing as a woman. So I mean, some of those numbers. That's some of those numbers should slightly be increased, okay?
It's possible.
I mean, so
I don't really know him.
So, okay, so out of 225 series examined, right?
I'm assuming he's not directing as, what is the character, Mama or something?
Madea.
Madea.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Maybe he's directing him as Madea, then he can
No, I think he's directing. He's directing as Madea, but in a male uniform. But trust me, he's directing as Madea in some of those. So out of 225 series, now these are not episodes, these are TV series, 23 of them, 10% of all of them, hired no woman or minority directors at all. And 39 more series, which is 17%, hired women or minorities to direct fewer than 15 episodes, 15% of episodes. So, I mean, there's a lot of numbers there, a lot of statistics. What the fuck does this all this mean, really? What does all this mean?
Well, also, this is TV, right? If we're talking about
this
film.
This is TV. This is not film.
If we're talking about film, of the 100 top grossing movies
I got those.
In the
I
past
got those
2 years, yeah. Only 1.9% were directed by women.
1.9% of the top grossing 100 films from the last 2 years were directed by women.
So you're saying it's easier to get cancer?
Yeah,
as a woman, than to true. Direct a film.
So okay,
but, I mean, we're allowed. We get to make movies. They're just not in the top grossing.
Okay,
movies.
so
we don't get the marketing money behind us. We don't get the commercial look behind us. You know.
So what do you? What do you make of all this? Because I'm reading what this all comes down to is the American Civil Liberties Union is, you know, trying to get a lawsuit going against, you know, Hollywood producers and TV and Hollywood, TV, film, Hollywood producers and studios and corporations. And so my thing is this, right? I'm reading all this stuff, and the thing that sticks out to me the most is that they're accusing, which rightfully so, that the industry has blatantly and that there's blatant and extreme inequality in the hiring of female directors, right? So I get that, right? But that doesn't necessarily translate to discrimination, right? And I think that's where the fine line here and the difficulty that the ACLU and everybody else who's getting this lawsuit together, they're going to have a hard time, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult to say, you know, they're discriminating against me because I'm a woman, as opposed to we're hiring whoever the fuck we want to hire. And the majority of the people who I want to hire happen to be white, short, bald men. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
what do you think about this?
Well, I mean the same amount of men and women are both graduating from film school. So
is that true?
That has been
the same amount of men and women.
Variety has stated that on various occasions.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of the women directors I've talked to, when they get introduced, you know, they say this isn't they get introduced as a woman director, as if their gender is a precursor to the title.
Right.
So why are they not just the director is my first question. I think that at the end of the day, it comes down to dollars and cents. I think that, you know, people say, oh, I've heard it a million times. I don't, can she get it done with the crew? You know, like,
can she get it done?
Can she get it done with the crew? It becomes a financial, like the fact that you attach a woman to a director and then you go and ask for financing. I mean, Rosemary, how many times have you heard, well, it's a woman director?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, here's something else that I was reading.
But I want you to clarify that. So can she get it done with the crew? What do you mean? Can she work well with the crew? Can she make this episode come in under budget? That type of stuff?
No, I think it's more like managing a bunch of dudes, because obviously the ratio on, you know, who's working on it. Like, can she crack the whip?
Mm-hmm.
Does she have the kahunas?
Is she going to be able to pull this off with a bunch of guys?
She has the balls to do it.
Got it.
So there's this thing where it says, talking about how many films, for example, 26.9% of directors at Sundance last year were female. So that's a pretty good statistic.
26.9%.
That's better than 1.9%.
Of the films at Sundance were directed by females.
Mm-hmm.
But then compared with 1.9% of the directors who topped who directed the top 100 grossing films. Again, coming down to money. So it's not that women aren't making movies. They just don't have access to the marketing, to the money, to get the movies out there.
They're not given the opportunity.
So these researchers interviewed 59 film buyers and sellers, okay, 39 mm-hmm. males and 20 females, and identified 6 commonly perceived barriers facing female directors. One is female directors make movies that are less appealing to general marketplace.
Okay.
There are fewer eligible female directors in the talent pool. I've heard that many times.
Okay.
Women are less interested in directing, particularly tent pole type films. So in other words, they don't think that we are even interested in directing big movies.
Whoa. What does that mean? Tent pole type films?
Anything that is, you know, a franchise, Fast and Furious.
So
the
they're
Avengers,
saying women,
Spider-Man.
Women are less interested in directing those types of films?
These are film buyers and sellers. These are their opinions.
That's the misconceptions that these people have.
Women are less interested in directing particularly tentpole type films.
Okay.
Female directors are restricted from the industry by the predominance of male gatekeepers and the boys' club culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Agents and managers are not putting their female clients up for a broad variety of directing opportunities.
Right.
And female directors are less adept at handling certain production demands, which is what you were just saying. So, you know, I as a female director, I can't stand this topic.
Right. What topic?
Just the whole thing of being called a woman director, having to comment on being a woman director.
But here's the thing. You just qualified yourself and you said as a female director.
Yes.
You see, the problem is, Like a Latino male who's a director, I don't think that he's going to identify himself as a Latino director.
I'm only doing
director.
It for the purpose of this conversation.
No.
I'm a director.
No, that's how you should be. That's how you should be addressed, and that's how you should be thought of. Not as a female director. You know, it almost diminishes or undermines who you are as a person, right? So you're not a female director. You're a fucking director. You know what I mean? So as a director.
As a director who happens to be female,
yes,
I think that it's great that this conversation happens because clearly there's a problem.
Okay.
I experience it. I live it. But at the same time, I don't go around talking about it. I don't make this an issue in my life because
can I say something here about that? So I mean, we can go all over the place, and I have like a little structure of what I want to talk about and how I want to talk about it. But okay, what Margaret said. So you're a director, and you're on set. How are you treated differently than a male director? So when you don't have to be specific in terms of like this guy said this or whatever. But I'm saying like So one of the biggest issues I heard there, and what Margaret said, was that can you handle, you know, the crew, right? So how do you handle the crew? How do you handle the crew?
Look, I'm just myself, and I just do my job. So I'm but fully capable of doing it. Doesn't matter.
But
it
you go
matter.
On set and under the guises, or the misconception, right? So I'm assuming as a guy, I worked in construction, right? I can compare the construction industry with film and TV industry in a sense that you're producing something, you're building something. And most of the guys that work in film and TV, I've met quite a few of them. They look and they act the same as fucking guys on the construction site.
Yeah, but my experience is not with them. I don't have problems with them.
You don't?
Never. I don't have problems with them, no.
Okay.
I find that when you show up and you are good at your job and you say thank you to people and you know what the hell you're doing, and people respect that. That's it. And then they get on board. And I've seen, you know, I was a shadow as a director too. And I've seen directors show up, and I've seen the crew and the actors eat them alive. And they were white guys or, you know, Latino guys or some. Right. So, because okay. that's they're not really.
So when you say I just show up and do my job, what is your job? What do you do?
Well, I take scenes. I take a piece of paper,
right,
that has ink on it,
right,
and we plan like how that's going to come to life,
right,
and then we make a lot of decisions. I make a lot of decisions. People come at me. They have various jobs all around me. Tons of people have jobs. They come and they need answers, and I answer questions, and I answer those questions based on what I want to see, or how I'm best of service to that story.
So you have a script. The script has characters. The characters have lines. There's locations. Mm-hmm. There's set design.
There's
so
costumes.
All that shit is what you're talking about, the work and all
the
people asking questions, right? But you haven't even gone on set yet. I'm talking about before you even get on set, right?
That's before I get on set. But then on set, it's the same thing. You haven't worked with the camera. The camera doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where he's setting up. He doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be there to like say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm.
So you're as prepared as possible when you go to a job.
Of course.
So
okay. I don't think, you know, that's why I don't really like the subject matter. I'm happy that it's out there because as a female in this world doing any business in any occupation, and I'm sure Margaret, you've experienced, I mean, just growing up as a female in this world, we experience things that are out of line and we just accept them and we move forward.
Or growing up as a Latino male,
you experience the same things. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, look at the statistics here. Look at the statistics.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. 17% of the directors of 700 out of the 776 directors who directed episodic TV, all right, 129 of them were female, right? 24 of them were Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why aren't Latinos jumping in on this bandwagon and saying, "Fuck you, women. We don't even get a chance to direct as much as you women as a whole." Why?
I don't know.
Tell us, Nestor.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a director.
I mean, I think women and minorities go in the same category.
They should go in the same
with the networks and the studios. So,
but I think it's
we're a group.
I mean, we're talking about it now because you know, look at you know Patricia Arquette's speech,
right?
Of equal pay.
Yes.
Of equal pay.
You have that.
I mean, I think it's not.
Well, I think whoever watched the Academy Awards, I don't have the clip on it, but I mean, basically, she got up when she won an award. And her rant was about, well, I shouldn't say her rant, but her.
Say judgment. Judgment.
Well, it was a rant. I mean,
it wasn't
she went
a rant.
On.
She was just saying the facts.
Okay,
that's how
but
I saw
I'm
it.
Saying, I'm
Did
saying.
You think it was a
okay,
rant?
Okay, but.
Okay, so
whether it was a rant or not, right. I mean, you still had a Mexican director win an Oscar.
Absolutely. I have a, listen, as a Latino, right? I have a problem. And I'm gonna be honest. You can
bring it.
I have a problem with fucking actors who come from other countries. I call me a fucking racist or call me whatever. I have a problem. We have a fucking whole pool of actors in this country. So why do we have like, for instance, Colin Farrell in the new fucking True Detective? Why we don't have enough fucking American white guys that are really fucking brilliant, right? I mean, why? You see what I'm saying? I mean, guys could say the same thing. Why do 99%...
Because there's a lot of American independent filmmakers that go and get European money to make their movies because they can't make it here. Why so you do can't 90, restrict and say things
whoa. True Detective is an American production, right? Here. Why does the United States government allow a good portion of our productions to go to fucking Canada? Why?
Well, these are all different subjects.
Because Canada's paying for it.
Because Canada's paying for it?
Canada's got a lot of money in the arts.
No, we're paying for it. Because as a government, the United States winds up paying for that. Because that's a tax, a psychotic amount of tax revenue that goes to Canada, that gets lost. And on top of that, you work in Canada, you have to pay taxes to Canada. It's like, it's a lose-lose for America, you know, in one way. So I'm going off into a tangent here, but it's just there are a lot of issues.
I don't think it's easy for anybody to try to, you know, get a job and make a living as a director. But I don't want what I want as a director is the opportunity to do movies, to do TV, to do whatever stories I want to do. That's all my goal is.
I
don't want any opportunities restricted.
I don't think it's easy for anybody to get a job. If you look at the demographics of people who are making, you know, above median salaries, you know, and you do those demographics, I mean, it's pretty fucked. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what Patricia Arquette's speech was about, not actresses not getting paid what actors get paid. And women still don't. If you want me to, it's up to you.
Sure, you can play it.
Well, just went away.
Yeah.
But, you know, women should get equal pay for equal work. And that still is not a law in this country here.
Equal pay for equal work. We'll get into that in a minute.
Oh.
You should just plug it in.
Just plug it in?
Yeah, just plug it in. She should be into your, yeah.
Okay.
And then you just play it. It should come up.
Uh-oh. It's not the right volume.
Thank you to the Academy, to my beautiful, powerful nominees, to IFC, Jonathan Sarang, John Sloth, Kathleen Sutherland, Molly Madden, David DiCamillo, our whole cast and our crew, my boyhood family, who I love and admire, our brilliant director, Richard Linklater, the impeccable Ethan Hawke, my lovelies, Eller Coltrane, Lorelei Linkletter, Thomas and Paul, thank you for giving me my beautiful children. Enzo and Harlow, you're the deepest people that I know. My friends who all work so hard to make this world a better place. To my parents, Rosanna, Richmond, Alexis, and David. To my favorite painter in the world, Eric White. For the inspiration of living with a genius. To my heroes, volunteers, and experts who've helped me bring ecological sanitation to the developing world with givelove.org. To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women in the United States of America. Alexis and David, to my favorite.
So I'll take it back. It wasn't really a rant.
No, because it was definitely not a rant.
No, it wasn't a rant.
But it's interesting that you perceived it that way.
Well, when I said a rant, I mean anybody who wins
you
a fucking award,
rant.
They go off and they rant. I didn't mean it specifically towards her being a woman.
Well,
so I want to clarify that.
I mean, just today it was out that Lily Tomlin. Found out that.
Playing. I don't know what it is that's playing.
Oh, is it this?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay.
So Lily Tomlin found out that her co-stars in the new Netflix show, Grace and Frankie.
Right. I got that.
That her two male co-stars, I don't know if you've seen the show.
Grace and Frankie is
the
new Netflix show.
So they're supporting characters, and Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are clearly the leads because they're in every scene of the show.
Uh-huh.
And they found out that they're getting the same pay as the guys. And that was, you know, Jane Fonda.
I think what Lily Tomlin said is we're not happy.
Right. Not happy.
So, but why is that a gender issue? Why is that a male-female inequality issue? There are a lot of people in corporate America, for instance, two or three guys doing the same job, and one guy will get paid a psychotic amount more money than another person.
Person or woman?
I'm talking about male to male. I'm not comparing genders. I'm just saying there could be a guy that's getting paid $50,000, let's say, a year, doing the same job as another guy in the same company, and that other guy's making $35,000 or $40,000.
But would you say that that's the disparaging norm, or would you say that it's typically women getting paid less than men?
I don't know. I'm not saying that women are getting paid. My thing is that why is that a big issue that Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda are getting
because
paid
it
the
also,
same?
Because it also came out from those when Sony got hacked, uh-huh. The emails, it came out that what the hell is the movie? Come on. American, the one with Jennifer Lawrence, Amy uh-huh. Adams.
Oh, yeah.
American
Bradley
Sniper?
Cooper. No.
Hustle.
Come on, Jenny.
American Hustle.
Yes. In that movie, that they also were getting paid way less.
That the women. But isn't that the agent's fault? I mean,
no, there
you
was
have
a
an
talk,
agent.
There was a talk that, I gotta look
no,
this up.
No, we can talk about agencies. Look.
But you have an agent.
No,
but listen. 10% to do the
okay,
right thing
the,
and get you the best amount.
Right, but this is the feeder fish pool. You're an agent, right?
Right.
So you make a bump on, you know, when you get your client business.
Right.
In the letter that...
Sony. Oh, the other letter.
That was written recently, you know...
ACLU.
Yes.
That's a long-ass letter,
it's
let
a
me
really,
tell you.
It is a long letter. But
Jesus Christ.
But when you talk about agencies, they said, and I quote from this letter... Another director was told by an agent that it's common knowledge that agents don't like to represent women because they don't make as much money as male directors.
That makes sense.
Right. So
if I was an agent and I had to work hard.
That's clarifying that that's actually a truth.
But it's saying that, look, if I'm a commodity broker, I'm an agent. So I'm brokering a product.
Right.
Right. And I have a blue product and I have a red product.
Right.
But I know that my blue products... going to bring me a lot more cash. I'm
right.
going to push my blue product.
Of course.
So
you got to maximize
so that's why
on your
equal
time.
Pay, but that's why equal pay for equal work.
But what I'm saying is,
Amy Pascal did an interview with Tina Brown, and Amy Pascal was the head of Sony who got
booted after the emails came out and
yes.
yada yada.
She did an interview, and in it, this issue came up. Like, well, how did it feel, you know, when these actresses came? This was your movie, like, you know, and they don't get paid enough and they didn't get paid as much as they should have or whatever. And her response, basically, to paraphrase, was women need to learn to walk away. I'm going to offer them what I'm going to offer them. I'm the studio. I'm going to offer them. I'm the one with the money.
So she's
and
saying
then it's up
women
to them.
Need to learn how to walk away.
It's up to them to walk away. Now, I don't think that's fair. Myself.
I
but yes,
so.
Do we need to walk away? I guess we need to walk away, but everyone's not going to walk
Dude,
away. Because you don't know when your next job is in this business.
But here's the deal. So you're Jennifer Lawrence.
So it's putting the impetus on the person who's being treated unfairly.
But that would mean that everybody would have to agree and walk away.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's
solidarity.
Like,
but hold on a second. Didn't Jennifer Lawrence, if I'm not mistaken, win an Academy Award before American Hustle?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she win for Silver Linings Playbook? Or something like that. What
yeah.
did she win?
Yeah, so
right.
Mm-hmm.
So how the fuck, as an agent, can you not negotiate top dollar for what the fuck she's doing? I'm sorry.
Because there's top dollar lady pay and there's top dollar guy.
Well,
pay.
Well, then that's the agent's fault. Because if the agent was smart, she could have said, "How much is Sam Waterston getting paid? What's his contract?" Because whatever his contract is, I want my client to be matched to that. Why can't the agent do that? The agent could do that. You're talking about a fucking Oscar winner.
Well, listen, here's the sad part is that at the beginning until Sony was hacked, they didn't know. It's like they didn't know any better to ask for more money. And that's like the systemic part of it that I'm curious about. Because it's like Let's just keep it dumb. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep people in the dark. And then it's like, oh, shit, we got to hack some emails to find out that we're getting fucked here.
But it wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue
until the light was shown on
right.
it.
So until that light was shown.
So keep them in the dark.
Jennifer Lawrence was doing pretty good because I saw her all over the place and she didn't look like she was starving. So the point is she was making enough money doing what she was doing, except when that came out, then it became like, oh, fuck. somebody else got paid more than me. That I'm just saying that. Listen, I've been in a situation as a man, okay, where I'm working and I work fucking twice as hard as some asshole and he's getting paid 10, 20% more than I am. And it pisses me the fuck off, okay? And at that point, I can say, fuck that, that's bullshit, right? And usually my brain goes, fuck that, that's bullshit. And then my morale goes out the fucking window. And I decide I want to fucking, you know, I want to do something that's going to, you know, it doesn't do anything
it's,
for
but
me.
But when it's kind of, no, but then you take that job experience and then you go somewhere else and you make sure you're treated fairly next time.
Right.
It's not, there's less opportunities as a female, whether whatever business you're in. If you're in the tech world, work at Google.
No, absolutely.
I mean, you know, there's across the board industries. Listen. Where women don't have access. Listen, and the money isn't
you're living
fair.
In a country, okay, that some people, listen, this is my belief here. I believe that a lot of the racial shit that has been coming up in the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, is as a direct result of suppressed racism,
unresolved
racism, and a direct relationship to a black president. Because a black president comes up, and what that does is that it subconsciously tells all the racist white fucks and black fucks, there's black racist fucks and whatever, but white racist white fucks that, you know, you're wrong. What you believe that black people are inferior, you're wrong. And so what do you do with that as a person, right? So now it comes up We're living in a country.
Well,
that
I think
would
you get threatened, and then instead of, you know, embracing change, they get threatened, and then they want to fight. Wait,
harder.
I want the system to stay the
Correct.
Way it was.
Correct.
I don't want the system to change.
Correct.
Because the system is benefiting me.
Correct. So here's the thing. Right now, the women are doing really good. Let me tell you something. Because when Hillary Clinton, if she gets elected to be president, there's going to be hell to pay. All you women are going to fucking pay for it. Trust me. I'm telling you.
Well, listen.
This country would love to have nothing more than all you women in a fucking apron making cookies and brownies
that's
for your husband.
That's all we do. Didn't you know?
No, but I can't even believe I got out to get here.
I got a hall pass tonight. My feet are bare.
But I'm saying, if you're a woman and you have some sort of intelligence or you're powerful, then you're a fucking you're a lesbian or you're a bitch. That's how it is.
Or you're the German chancellor because they have a female in charge.
Yeah, no. It's fucked up. Listen, it's fucked up. Okay.
Well, we had Catherine Bigelow.
Well, that's
who won an Academy Award a couple years ago.
Of four.
The first one. What, that won?
Women.
No, nominated. No. She's the only one to win.
Oh, wow.
Those were nominated women. Yeah. She's the only one to win.
For a very good film.
But an amazing film.
Amazing film.
And nothing changed.
The Hurt Locker.
Nothing changed as a result of that.
But there's
one reason why. And it wasn't about her being a female director, I don't think. But this is what happens.
Her husband.
This is why it comes all down to money. Because Hurt Locker didn't make that much money. So we need access to funding. We need access to marketing money. We need people to get behind us to push our product out there. Right now, there's like a big, you know, it's in whatever, in the universe, what people are writing about today is because over the weekend, Mad Max came in second place and Pitch Perfect 2 blew it out of the water.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me what Pitch Perfect is.
It's a movie. I don't really know the story. I just know it's directed by an actress, Elizabeth Banks, who's
a
director.
Interesting.
Yes.
And but what is that? I mean,
of course, you would think on the surface Mad Max would do better, but
it's not. I'm kind of shocked.
50 Shades of Grey is another movie that opened at number one, another female directed movie.
Who's buying the tickets? A lot of ladies.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Economically, we have to get stronger.
We have a film that deals with the subject of seniors, right? The majority of the people that actually physically go to theaters not to see fucking 3D Avengers and action movies would be people, the demographics of people over 40, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're having a hard time selling the film because it's not an easy sell.
Silver skies.
Right. So our society is based on you have to be in a box. What box are you in? When you're not in that type of box, right, it's
weird.
But
when we get marketing money behind us, like Unbroken... like
that's another
Pitch
story.
Perfect 2.
Let me
like 50 Shades of Grey. When you have that money, that marketing money, then your movies have a chance to get out there and make money, and then you have more opportunities to make bigger
movies. Well, there's a few things. Thierry Fromont, whatever the fuck his name is, Thierry Fromont.
Yes.
All right, Thierry Fromont, who is the chief of the Cannes Film Festival. So here's a couple of things, right? So something happened. The Cannes Film Festival just pretty much wrapped, right? It happens for a whole week in May or something like that? So here's something that came out. So some female ticket holders were turned away based on their flat footwear. So they weren't allowed to enter some theaters, some shows, because they were wearing sandals.
They were not wearing high heels.
They weren't wearing high heels.
It wasn't about sandals.
I don't have a problem with that. If you're going to go to see a movie in France, you should be wearing fucking pumps. I mean, you women want to fight for your right to wear pumps every fucking where else. Then you go to a movie opening in France, and then all of a sudden you decide to wear fucking Roman sandals. You know, I think it was the south of France.
I think it was by a security guard. I'm sure that wasn't like made him happy right now.
No,
Mr. Fromont.
Thierry, he was embarrassed by it,
right.
and the security guard was probably fired. You know,
right.
Maybe. Or maybe he was made vice president of the Cannes Selection Committee. You never know. So my thing is this.
He's wearing pumps now.
Here.
That's right.
So here. So you had sent an email. You had made a comment on this, Margaret, which was the last sentence, right? So when I read the whole thing. So this is the sentence. It goes, our dream would be to have a festival where there are no film credits so no one would know the sex of the director. Now, so your immediate.
Does that mean it'll get purchased?
Well, I mean, I think what he's trying to say is the same feeling I had when Obama was elected, right? I was overjoyed, right? And then at the same time, I felt embarrassed that as an American, that was a huge deal because he was the first black president. Why should it be that that's like, you know, an anomaly, right? It should be that everyone is equal. Right. So therefore, you don't have to say, oh, that was a woman director or that was a male director, et cetera. And I think that's what he's trying to say, that it shouldn't be a fucking gender issue. I think he's also
skirting the issue, if you will.
Well, yeah,
because he's saying, I mean, I feel like he's almost admitting, like, I know this shit's not going to be bought if it's a female director.
Let's say that.
Like, well, let's say Picasso was a woman, right?
You
don't want to put the name on the piece of art?
Well, I mean, art is a whole other thing.
That's another episode. But it's
the same thing because I think what he's saying is that if there are no film credits, then he doesn't have to get shit for not having female directed movies.
No.
I
think he's saying that he would like it not to be an issue, so it's an issue. So it's such a big issue that nobody can change, that the only way to solve it is to just delete it.
I think what I got from the whole thing was that, you know, Cannes gets a lot of shit about a lot of things. And so he says...
it's the biggest festival in the world.
But don't you think he's just overcompensating for the security guard and said, don't wear flats?
No, I don't know. I think
that's a PR nightmare. I'm sure he's shitting himself.
But I think the Cannes Film Festival...
Of all the timing, though, to have that happen.
I think the Cannes Film Festival is an elitist thing any fucking way. So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It's an elitist fucking film festival. You think any film can get in? He was talking about...
Can you have an elite vagina is the question.
Well, I don't know. I think the amount of films that get made...
Right.
Makes it difficult for any film festival to, you know, have a proper selection process. Going back to the New York Times article that you sent me about how the New York Times has made an official announcement that they cannot guarantee that every film that gets theatrically released in New York is going to get a review.
I know, that's a problem
because small films like ours, if it opened up in New York for
there's no guarantee you're going to get a review by the New York Times.
But here's the thing. You can get a film review. You can get a kick-ass film review. And that still doesn't mean shit.
It gets people in the theater. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get fucking blown up distribution. Well, I can't really be a judge of that. The first movie we made, this is I always learn things the hard way. So we got the film to open in New York, and I just gave it to bookers and theaters in New York, and then we had one lovely booker, this guy George, who like took the movie, and so we didn't have to four wall it or anything, right? So we took the movie. We got this killer New York Times review. I mean, like a big, huge review.
I read it. It was
crazy. So getting that, and then the theater, the woman who ran the theater, she said to me, yeah, it's good. You do well, and then we'll extend it. And what'll happen is, you know, the statistics, the box office statistics get, you know, published, and then you'll have theaters around, like different theaters to book your movie. So what I didn't know, I'm waiting Monday. I'm all excited because I know it was sold out all weekend. And I'm super excited. And I get Variety and I look and I'm like, we're not even in there. And then I wait. I'm like, well, maybe it's the next day. Like, I don't really know how it works. And then by Wednesday, I call this woman. I'm like, well, what happened? Like, because I knew we were sold out. She already extended us another week. And I'm like, well, what happened? She goes, well, didn't you call? You have to call RentTrak and tell them the results. Like, you're essentially the person who has to call. And I was like, what? Are you serious?
Then you fail.
Totally. It was my failure. It was my inexperience.
Well, it's not being well informed. It's almost like the Jennifer Lawrence thing. So she finds out that somebody else gets paid a lot of money. But I think everyone learns the hard way. Everything.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And listen, you're in the entertainment business, right? You're in the film and TV business. There's no fucking rhyme or reason. 2 + 2 does not equal 4 here.
Yeah.
There's no reason why a TV show and you know, a TV show with some fucking lanky white dude, which like that could be any of them because it's like 50 million fucking shows with that. Why that's a successful show? Why a black or Latino show? You know, it does. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but I think that shows like
you can't
like,
make those statements anymore after Empire.
That's what I was just gonna say. I'm sorry to say. With a show like Empire, it's good. It's good for minorities and Latinos and
it's good
whoever
for everybody.
Else.
Everybody's happy. White people are happy about it too.
I mean, we all know that there's a big demographic of blacks and Latinos. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's
so? I think the question that you have, Nestor, is how do we pierce the bubble of the white guy club? I mean, I think that's what you're saying.
Well, I figure in about 15 more years, a Mexican president will be elected. When that happens, he's going to kick out all the white guys out of the United States.
Not a Puerto Rican president.
Puerto Rican, you have to get up early for a job to be a president. that right there disqualifies us.
Oh, that's no.
You
got to
wear
people.
A suit. Don't fucking tell me what I got to wear, what I got to read.
But maybe that'd be good.
Yeah, maybe
you should run for president.
Maybe.
You up in the morning.
But check this out. So we went to Grace and Frankie. I have to say this because you sent me this article about this actress June Diane Raphael, right? Mm-hmm. Who got hired on the Netflix comedy Grace and Frankie that you were just talking about, mm-hmm. with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, mm-hmm. right? So she was talking about how Jane Fonda had her back because she needed to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. Now, when she was hired on the Netflix comedy, you know, she was pregnant, right? So my thing was like, I'm sorry. Listen, I don't mean to sound sexist, but I don't want to see a woman whip out her tit and breastfeed her kid.
I don't think she was doing it on set.
There's a photo. There's a photo of her sitting in the dressing fucking chair. The fucking dude is blow drying her hair, putting makeup on, and she's got her breast out, you know, slightly covered with her baby. You know, it's just like you want to talk about female empowerment, right? But then you want to come out and say, you know, I want to have my right to breastfeed on the TV show while I'm at work. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We produced a film. Okay?
I think that's a fluff shot.
I think that's like
This is relative to this, and we got to wrap it up because we only have a minute or so.
Okay.
We have to wrap it up. You see, it's like
I don't think the whole set and the whole crew and everyone should revolve around one person. No matter what. I don't think so either.
That's my point. It's like we hired a producer on our film. He's supposed to be there 12 to 16 hours a day because we're about ready to fucking start shooting our film, and he's got, you know, issues with his kid. I get it. You know, I'm sorry for your kid, but you got hired to be here 12 to 16 hours. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I'm curious. I've never, you know, I haven't had a kid and I haven't had to, like, you know, in this article it said she pumped her her breast milk every 3 hours, but I mean, I'm sure there are
pumped
guys
it into the kid's mouth from her breast.
No. She was breast pumping. The article said she was pumping.
Right.
But I mean, that probably takes about as much as time as it takes other dudes to take a shit. So,
well, if she's pumping, right?
I don't know that either. It seems like for it to come into, you know,
but here's,
the ether, it had to be. Either they're waiting for her on set.
No, they're waiting for her.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Jane Fonda, as a woman, supported it. So that made it okay.
Of course, because Jane Fonda is going to take a stand, you know, for women's rights. And I don't blame Jane Fonda, right? But what I'm saying is, like...
You think it affects the production?
No. I think it affects the image of a woman. It's like, you're a fucking woman, right? You want to be considered a strong person? You want to be equal to a man? A man's not whipping out his dick, getting it fucking massaged in between takes.
I know
that's a fucked up... Hold on a second.
I think a lot of people have waited while there's women in the trailers.
Hold on.
Somebody's getting pumped.
Hold on. I know that's a fucked up analogy, right? But I'm just saying, it's like, if you're a dude and you're fucking wasting time on a set, I think you should get fucking fired.
Absolutely.
You should get fucking fired.
Let's talk about Abel Ferrara.
Well, that's another story. I don't know. I just thought that, you know... Women, women need to stick together. Let me tell you something about what I take from all of this and what I like to project to, you know, all my listeners, because I have a lot of males, but I have some women. Women, you need to stick together, okay? You need to come together and stick to a certain image. What do you want the world to see you as? Do you want the world to see you as a breastfeeding actress on set? Do you want the world to see you as a person that can take charge of any fucking situation and get paid the same way as a guy? Because in my opinion, if you're a woman, right, that's already been proven. Your mother fucking took care of you, me, everybody else. If you're a Puerto Rican mother, you took care of all your kids, punched the shit out of your father, stabbed the drug dealer on the corner, fed you breast milk, did the dishes, vacuumed the fucking house, dusted everything.
You got breast milk?
I got breast milk, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Breast milk, I got. Breast milk. No, I did. I got breast milk for like a week, and then I...
So it's okay, because your mom wasn't making a movie while she breastfed you.
Well, look, forget the movie. I've been in a restaurant when a woman does that. I think it's weird. Maybe I'm fucking uptight. I just think it's weird. There's a time and place for everything. I just don't, you know, if you need to breastfeed your kid, then you go to the bathroom and you take care of your business. Maybe I'm fucked up. I don't know. I mean, in fact, I am fucked up.
But maybe that's just semantics. And I totally get it. But I also think sometimes we expect women to act like men, and I think women have a lot of strengths on their own. And I think it might be okay to like ease up a little bit and let women explore the way that they would do it.
But there's not enough time for women to explore.
Well, I think that's okay, but I don't think you can explore on set.
Yeah.
No,
when people
are
waiting for you.
I'm
only assuming that this is an issue because, you know, I've been on a show where an actress
had to go
off.
Yeah, it's probably super annoying, and it's like, it would affect the budget.
And you're kind of like, well, I need, like, it's more than 5 minutes, but it's like, oh, I need this time. But if lighting's ready and we're ready to go, and then we got to wait for that, it gets to be a drag.
And her shirt's all wet because she didn't pump.
But that happens too.
That's what I'm saying.
It actually happens where,
well,
you know.
Well, so that's an interesting thing because you're a director. You happen to also be a woman.
I don't want to be.
I mean, it's an issue. It's not an issue because she's a woman. It's an issue because, you know, you put it this way. You shouldn't require special attention because you're a white guy.
But it's true. What Margaret's saying is true because then it could be, you know, it could be a white guy who's handicapped or something's going on. And then everybody makes allowances for him. You know what I mean? But they're not going to, like, make allowances for it. It's true. It's very complicated.
Listen.
But can we just at least have one big up for all the women directors?
I'm going to have one big up. Just give me a second. I'm going to have a big up, but you got to give me 1 second.
I need that DGA.
I need that plug.
What plug?
Plug. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I need that plug. Okay.
You just got called, sir. You made it. Yeah.
No, I'm in the club.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So here's the deal. Hold on a second. What the fuck? Here's the deal. All right. So here's the deal. Before we leave, good news. James Bond woman, 50 years old, okay?
Yeah.
Monica Bellucci, 50 years old,
That's
all right?
That's right.
All right.
You can't call her a Bond girl.
All right. Most women that been in the James Bond films have been young. One of them even 14 years old, and one of the first Sean Connery. Oh, yeah. 14 years old.
Wow.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew. She was breastfed, so her breasts were big, so no one knew.
So she was still breastfeeding.
She was still breastfed. She was still being breastfed. Anyway,
shit,
so I just want to say, big up your motherfucker. Hold on. Big up to the DGA. Big up to 50-year-old women who like to breastfeed on set. Big up to all the motherfucking female directors.
Yeah.
Big up for women's image. Big up for the woman. And big the fuck up for listening to Nestorius Public Radio Show. Hit us up on Facebook, Nestorius Public Radio, and make sure you subscribe to our show on iTunes. What else is going on? You want to say something about your upcoming project? You're directing the new Jessica Jones.
I'm doing the new Marvel show. Yeah, but I just want to say Margaret and I are going to make a movie called Loose Girl.
You guys are working together.
It's going to be all about like empowerment, and we're going to make a kick-ass movie that's going to make a shitload of money.
Well...
Yeah, absolutely.
She's like, yeah.
I was thinking about a play on something, but no, I mean.
You were thinking about a what?
No, I just think, you know, it's about voice. It's at the end of the day, it's about money. It's about getting somebody to believe in you enough to give you the money to make what you want to make. And I think that there's got to be a few guys out there and a few people that are willing to say, hey, holy shit, like women can actually make a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
Well, roll the dice.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, and then we wrap this up, is that, you know, and this is important, right? I think that a lot of this stuff, right, like, you know, gives the impression, right, that everyone should have a fair shot just because they're either Black, Latino, or a woman, right? I agree. Everyone should have a fair shot.
Or Asian.
Or Asian, right? Any minority should have a fair shot, right? But here's the deal. When it comes to you, for instance, nobody gave you a shot. You made your first film with your own money.
No, I got a shot from John Wells.
No. You made a film with your own money.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
I think part of the problem is, and this has to do with the DJ, and we definitely got to wrap it up, but I wanted to touch on this, is that, first of all, a lot of these white guys that we talked about, a lot of them are producers and writers that the DGA allows TV shows and productions to direct when they have never directed a fucking thing in their life. You know, I think that here
it's not the DGA that's letting those people direct. It's the studios and the networks that are hiring those people.
Well,
DGA is not a hiring hall. They
I
have
know
nothing
that.
To
I know
do
that.
With who gets the
I know
jobs.
That, but there is no standard as to who can be a director and who cannot be a director. In my opinion, if you want to be a director, then you should have had directed something. Right? Before you get to go on somewhere and given an opportunity.
Yes.
So you can't just come out of film school and say, oh, I went to fucking film school. I'm a woman director. I should be able to direct a TV show. I think anybody who wants to be a director should have had some sort of product that they have directed so then they can actually sell it. You know, when I say sell it, calling card or show it off, and then you can be a director. I see that with a lot of people that, you know, get opportunities. You're prepared, you do something, and you have it. And I think that women should do more of that.
Just
and if you're not doing more of that...
Just get out and make movies. Keep creating
your own fucking destiny.
Absolutely. No excuse.
You cannot leave it up to these
white
guys.
You can't wait for it. You gotta build your own house.
Yeah. Yes, you have to build your own
house. If somebody's not open the door, you gotta...
Break it
fucking
down.
Create your own house.
Yeah,
you got to create your own house. You got to break in the roof. You got to do whatever you can to get
it.
In.
You can't give it.
No, because at some point, they're going to say, holy shit, we need to get on that boat.
Yeah.
You cannot leave it up to a white guy.
I think I'm close. I can feel like I'm getting close.
You cannot leave it up to a white guy.
Sales are going up.
You cannot leave it up to a white guy.
No, you can't leave anything up to the white guy.
You cannot leave it up to a white guy to give you permission. Okay? You cannot.
Well, let's big up the DGA, though. I love the DGA.
Why is my fucking volume not working?
Oh my god,
here?
Your big ups are fucked up because you got two strong women
across.
Something's
happening here. Fuck the white guy, you motherfucker! That's too loud. Fuck the white guy, you motherfucker! Big up to the DGA. Big up to senior citizens that want to direct. All right, that's it. That's our show. Thanks for coming out.
All right. Get it off. Get it off. Let it off. Set it off. Get it off, let it off, set it off, get it off, let it off, set it off, get it off, let it off. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me.
So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like...